What a beautiful time of entering in and sharing together the worship of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, our Heavenly Father. Just a little story behind that song, the last song that was sung there this morning. The title of the message this morning is God is All Powerful, He is Omnipotent. And as I was preparing this morning, I spent some time looking over the message this morning, and it crossed my mind to find out who the worship leader is to play the song that was just played, Almighty. And I decided, I kind of left it go. I thought, well, that's too much bother this morning. I didn't want to bother them. I didn't want to take the time to do that. This morning I walked into the auditorium here and they were playing this song. And I went up to Jason. I said something to Jason about the song and how it blessed my heart. And Jason just got all excited. He said, just like 5 minutes before I walked in, they had decided the song that they were going to do, they couldn't get it. He couldn't get it right. And he decided to do a different song, and it was this song. Glory to God. Amen. It is one of my favorite songs, I must say. It is a song that soon after I got saved, I was at a time where just needing to feel the presence of God. I was sitting up at the quarry at Shanik one time waiting on a load of stone, and this song came on the radio. And I wept. I felt the Spirit of God moving over me like I had never experienced in my life because of my new birth experience at that point. And so it's kind of a special song to me. Almighty. God is almighty. There is none like Him. There is none as powerful as God. There is nothing that you can claim almighty other than God Almighty. That's pretty elementary. The boy and his father were walking through the woods together. They came across a large log blocking their path. The boy turned to his father and said, "Do you think that I can lift the log, Dad?" The father replied, "If you use all your strength, absolutely you can." The boy rolled up his sleeves, bent his knees, and got his hands under the log, and he locked his arms, and he heaved with every ounce of his strength he had, but the log wouldn't budge. He tried over and over again until at last, exhausted and breathless, he gave up. He looked at his dad with disappointment and frustration and said, "You told me I could lift it." His dad smiled and said gently, "I told you you could lift it if you used all of your strength. You didn't ask me for help." So the boy asked his dad to help him, and together they lifted the log out of their path. Your strength isn't held by you alone. Your strength isn't held by you alone. And maybe this morning you're here and you're trying to move the log on your own. And God is saying, call on me. Ask me. I am almighty. I am all powerful. I will help you move the log that is in your path. Maybe that's you this morning. Whatever the situation is, whatever you're facing, whatever you're up against, you have your arms locked around that log, you have your knees bent, and you are trying to lift with all your might, and it doesn't move. It stays there. God is calling you this morning to a reminder, to remember that He is all-powerful, He is almighty, there is nothing that God cannot do. I'm sharing a couple of messages, if you didn't catch on yet, on knowing God and the omnis of God. The first message I shared was how that God knows how we should get to know God, how He wants us to know Him. And then the second message I shared was on the omniscience of God, how He knows everything. He knows you. He knows all about you. And today we're looking at how God is omnipotent. Simply meaning He is almighty, or He is all-powerful, and there is none like Him. The theme verse here that I was sharing in Jeremiah 9, 23 through 24 says this, "Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, let not the mighty man glory in his might, nor let the rich man glory in his riches, but let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me." that I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth, for in these I delight, says the Lord. Let me read verse 24 again. But let him who glories, glory in this, that he understands and knows me. And I challenge you this morning to get to know God, to get to know him in all his glory. And the only way that we do that is through this book, through reading his word, through understanding him, and understanding and knowing that he is an all-knowing God, and that he is an all-powerful God, and that he is a God who is everywhere present. And when we get these things in our hearts, when we understand and we are able to capture that fact, that God is omnipotent, he is all-powerful, he is almighty, that should affect how we live. That should make a difference when we know that that is who God is. And here's the reason why. Because God has placed in you his Spirit. His Spirit is placed in each and every one of you who have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. That power lies within you. And we have opportunity to walk in victory this morning because God has made us victorious. Not because we in ourselves or in our own might are able to do anything, but God has made us victorious in his power. One of the things that was difficult for me was to find a particular scripture that speaks to the omnipotence of God. It is woven throughout scripture. It is there. It is a whole way through scripture. So I'm going to share a couple of verses that speak to that. Matthew 19:26, and I'm going to read through these quickly. You don't need to follow along. Matthew 19:26 says this, "But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." Not just some things, but all things are possible through him. Luke 1:37, "For with God nothing shall be impossible." Jeremiah 37:27, "Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me?" He asked it as a question. Is there anything too hard for him? And I ask you that this morning. Is there anything too hard for God? No. Nothing. Not a thing. But when we understand this, Job 42:2, "I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee." And Mark 10:27 again, "And Jesus looked upon them, said, with men it is impossible, but with God, for with God all things are possible." Romans 1:20, "For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even this eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." Revelations 19:6, "And I heard, as it were, a voice of a great multitude, as the voice of many waters, as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth." And as far as I could tell, this is the only place in the King James Version of the Bible. It is not translated omnipotent in the newer versions, but in the King James Version, this is the only place in Revelation 19:6 that this word is used, omnipotent. And so here we have, again, Ephesians 1:19-22, "And what? This exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power." And again, there's a couple of verses that I wanted us to embrace as we walk through this here, and I'll be sharing a couple more verses as we go along. What do you think about when you think about the power of God? And as we look at Scripture, we look at the beginning of the Bible, we look at Genesis, where in Genesis, God in creation spoke the world into being. He spoke the world into being. And if you read there in Genesis how he said, "Let there be light," and guess what? There was light. That's power. I challenge any one of you this morning to speak something into existence here, other than a line of gossip or something like that. But speak something into existence. Speak something into existence. Can't do it. I've never seen anyone do that. But that's our God. That is the one who can do that. When Moses came to the Red Sea and the Egyptians were behind him, the Red Sea in front of him, he had nowhere to go. He was trapped there between the enemy and the Red Sea with nowhere to go. And God told him to stretch out his rod over the water, and he did. He reached out that rod at the risk of being looking foolish. He stretched his rod out of the water, and the Red Sea parted. Did Moses part the Red Sea? No. It was the Almighty God that parted the Red Sea, not Moses. It was the Almighty God. We have the account where there was some men that came against Moses and got a kind of a following after them and out there in the wilderness. And they were Moses and Aaron called them together, called the children of Israel together. Moses declared that those that are with him to stand with him, and those that were with these guys that were moving against his authority and leadership to stand over here. And when they were separated, the earth opened up and swallowed up all those people. Was it Moses or Aaron that opened up the earth? Neither. It was God. It was God that did that. We have the story of David and Goliath that we're all familiar with. David went out with the stone in his sling, and he slung the stone, and it hit Goliath in the forehead, and he dropped down dead. Was it David's power? Was it the power of David that stone was able to go where it went and to do the damage that it did? No. It was the power of God. We have the account of Daniel going into the lion's den. When Daniel prayed, and the only thing that they could find against Daniel was that he bowed down and prayed to the Lord God three times a day. And that was what they brought before the king, and he was thrown into the lion's den as what had been decreed. Was it Daniel's power that when he went into the lion's den, that he was able to calm those big kitties and to have them shut their mouths? No! It was the power of God closing the mouth of the lion that it did not come against Daniel and break his bones, which is what happened to those that threw him in. The Hebrew children that went into the fire, when they went into that fire, they went into that fire knowing that they could be burned up. But they went into that fire saying that we recognize that our God is able to deliver us. And they were thrown into the fire. We recognize that our God is able to deliver us, but if he doesn't, guess what? He's no longer God to me. No, they didn't. They said that we recognize that our God is able to deliver us out of the fire, and if he doesn't, guess what? He's still God. He is still God. When they went into the fire and their ropes or whatever was loosened from them and they walked around in the fire, was that some kind of power of their own that they did that? No, it was the power of God moving in there in that fire that day. Jonah and the whale. Jonah was tossed overboard and the whale or the fish swallowed up, whatever you want to call it. It's a whale. Can be. But anyway, the big fish swallowed up Jonah and took him to the place where he was running from. Jonah was resisting what God wanted him to do. He was resisting going to Nineveh and sharing the gospel message with those people. He didn't want to. In fact, he got on a boat and he went the opposite way. And when this all came down to the storm and they figured out who the problem was, Jonah told them that they needed to throw him overboard. They threw him overboard, and guess what? God got him to where he wanted to go. Was it Jonah's power? Was Jonah telling the fish where to go to spit him up on dry land? Not once. It was the power of God moving the fish to get Jonah where he wants to go. And I assure you this morning, if you are running from God, if you're not going where God wants you to go, he has a way to get you there. He has a way to get you there. You can't run and you can't hide. He has a way to get you there. We have the story of Elijah calling down fire from heaven. Have any of you ever, in your strongest moment, called down fire from heaven? I know there have been times I wanted to, but I never was able to. But have you, any of you ever been able to call down fire from heaven? Was it Elijah that called down the fire from heaven? Was it Elijah that made the fire come down? No, it was the power of God. The resurrection. What happened at the resurrection. There was no one who had died and had then been raised again. What happened at the resurrection? It was the power of God. It was the power of God moving in that situation. We have the story of Ananias and Sapphira, where they came before the apostles and they gave a false report of what they had sold. And Peter looks at Sapphira and says, "Because you have lied, today you will be carried out to your grave." And she fell down dead. Did Peter pull out a gun and shoot her? No. It was not any power of the apostles that did that. It was the power of God. It was the power of God. Ananias, the same thing. The power of God moved through him. We see the power of God move in many different ways throughout the earth, in the wind and water, and the tremendous power that is captured in wind. And we kind of take it for granted. Well, you know, it got windy and it blew my roof off my house. Well, who created the wind? Where does the wind come from? Well, the water got high and my house was flooded. Where did the water come from? Where does the water go? Why do the rivers, the Mississippi River, runs into the ocean? Were you ever aware the Mississippi River runs into the ocean? That's a lot of water running into the ocean. And that's just one river. Think about all the rivers that are running into the ocean, but it doesn't overflow. God. The storm Sandy on the East Coast here wreaked havoc on so many homes, businesses, highways, roads. Was that something the government did? No. It was God. You see, there was a tsunami in India. I think that's where it was. 2011 or somewhere around there. 100,000 people died in that tsunami, where the ocean did not stay within its designated area. What keeps the ocean where it's at? God. We see the power of God in salvation. We see the power of God that you are sick, undone, broken, sinner, and the saving grace of God came into your life, into my life, and made us new people. That's the power of God. That's the power of God. In suffering, we see the power of God. You're going through a difficult time. You're going through where you feel like you can't stand another moment of the pain. And yet, here you are. Another moment. Another moment. Another moment. That is the power of God giving you the grace. We see the power of God in witnessing. How is it that you can share the gospel message with someone and they realize in their heart that they are broken and undone and that they need the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior? You say, how does all this affect me? And yet when it comes down to recognizing the power of God, when it comes down to understanding who God is, when it comes down to understanding what God has done, when it comes down to seeing all that He is doing, why is it then we can still stand here and say that I'm not able to change? Why is it then that I am able to stand here and say, as much as I want to change, I cannot change. I try and I try and I try and I cannot change. God has given the power within us. When we accept Him as our Savior and He comes into your life, He is able to generate a new person out of you. And the old person has passed away. The old person is done away with and there's a new person established. And you now have the power of God dwelling in you. This same power that was there in the fire with the Hebrew children, that same power that was in the lion's den when Daniel went there, that same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you today. Hallelujah. Why then can we stand here and say, you know, I don't want to speak bad about the president or whoever it might be, especially the president right now. I don't want to speak bad about him, but we get a bunch of people together and they start talking about what's going on, and all of a sudden I find myself talking bad about the president again. It's like I can't stop myself. You don't want to gossip. You know that you shouldn't, and you get involved in something and you start talking about someone and you walk away from it saying, I don't want to ever do that again. I don't want to do that. I don't want to be that person. Next time you get in a situation where somebody is sharing a good, juicy bit of gossip, you lean in and you listen and you share it again. You don't want to lose your temper. You find that you're on edge, and you find that anything your children or your wife or your coworker or whatever it is trips you off, sets you off, and you lose your temper, and you say, I don't want to do that. I don't want to ever do that. I don't want to. And all of a sudden, somebody does something, and boom, it's right there. I don't want to view pornography. I looked at pornography. I'm just saying, hypothetically, I looked at pornography, and it's gross, detestful. And I shut my computer off and I walk away from it, and I don't want to ever do that again. I'm not going to. You start with resolve. I'm not going to do that again. Next thing you know, your computer's on, you're looking at it again. You don't want to smoke. You're caught up in the habit of smoking. And these cigarettes are just, they become disgusting. You throw them in the trash. And 3 days later, you just can't stand it anymore, you say, in your heart. I can't take it anymore. I need to smoke a cigarette. I need to smoke a cigarette. You might be doing that with alcohol. You might be doing that with drugs. Or you say, it's not what I want to do. It's not what I want to do, but I find myself doing it. Is it possible that you have both arms locked around the log, you have both knees bent, and you have your back bowed in, and you are trying to move the log by yourself? Is it possible? Because it is only through the power of God. It is only through the power of the Holy Spirit within you. It is only through the working of Jesus Christ and His Spirit in you that you are able to have victory. Because the God you serve is titled Almighty, Almighty, Omnipotent, All-Powerful. You see, there is nothing more that the enemy wants than for you to believe that you are defeated. There's nothing more that Satan wants than to believe that for you to believe that you are defeated and you cannot change. I am here to tell you, as a servant of the Lord, quoting the scripture, that you have the power within you to change once you yield the problem to the Lord Jesus Christ. On your own, you cannot. Release your arms. And call the Father to come alongside of you and help you move the log. Stop trying to do it on your own. Stop trying to do it on your own. It'll take a whole lot less energy if we turn it over to the one who wants to change you. And we recognize that He can do it. Our Father, the one and only. I got out of school, I worked at the feed mill, I delivered bulk feed for a while, and I'd go to a farm, I would back up to the pipe on the wall where you'd hook the blower pipe up to, and you rev up the engine, and the blower blows the feed up into the bin. And one time, while doing that, my truck engine failed. And I was not able to blow off the feed. The feed was on the truck. The cows were in the barn. But the feed needed to get from the truck to the barn. It didn't do a bit of good on the truck. The power was lost. And maybe some of you here this morning have started out with good power. You started out following the Lord Jesus Christ. You started out recognizing that the power of God was available in your life. And you made significant surrenders to the Lord Jesus Christ. But today you're wondering if that power is still available. The engine was repaired, and the feed, I was able to again blow feed off of the truck. I'm here to assure you this morning, with God Almighty, there will never be a power failure. There will never be a power failure. It is available. It is there for you. A.W. Tozer put it this way: God possesses what no creature can, an incomprehensible plentitude of power, a potency that is absolute. Let me read that again. God possesses what no creature can, an incomprehensible plentitude of power, a potency that is absolute. Here's an easier definition to remember. Nothing is too difficult for God. Pretty simple. Amen. Nothing is too difficult for God. One thing, there are some things that God cannot do, just as a passing note. He cannot deny himself. He cannot lie. He has said that he is almighty. He is all powerful. He cannot be tempted by evil, and he cannot change his basic nature. And let me read again in Revelations 19:6. The Apostle John heard what sounded like a great multitude, like the roar of rushing waters and loud peals of thunder, shouting out, "For the Lord God omnipotent reigneth." How should knowing that God is omnipotent affect how we live? How should knowing that God is omnipotent affect how we live? Our eternal security rests on the truth in this. 1 Peter 1:5 says this: "Who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time." And Philippians 1:6 says this: "Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ, of Christ's coming." What does the power of God do for us? One of the scriptures that stood out to me is Acts 1:8. Says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." What is it that comes on you when the Holy Spirit has come upon you? Power. Power. The power of God. The power has come upon you when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Have you been accessing this power in your life? Have you been mixing it up a bit with the unsaved people so that they would be able to see and be part of and be able to share with them the true gospel message? You see, what it does, the power of God in us gives us the ability to witness. He says in verse 8 here in Acts, what happens? The Holy Spirit comes on you and you will be witnesses. Are you being witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to all the ends of the earth? That simply means, are you being a witness where you're at? Because the power of God has been given to you to do that. Are you doing that? Are you being a witness to the people around you? I assure you this morning, you're being some kind of witness. Is it a witness for Jesus Christ? Is it a witness for Jesus Christ? Are you allowing the Spirit of God to move through you? Are you allowing the power of God to move through you? Remember, nothing is too difficult for God. Do you believe it? Nothing is too difficult for God. Do you believe? He gives us the power for living. We have fooled ourselves into thinking that we can never change. We say things like, "Well, that's just who I am. I just have a bad temper. I can't help myself. Take me or leave me." We've all heard these kinds of comments made by people. "That's just who I am. I can't change it." Yes, you can. Yes, you can. By the power of the Almighty God, you can. You don't need to be in submission to Satan's rule. You do not need to be in submission to the power of Satan, because God has placed a power in you that will stand against anything the enemy can throw at you. Do you experience the same power that raised Jesus from the dead? Are you experiencing it? Do you access this power in your marriage, or do you think this is all it can be? Are you tapping in to that power in your marriage, or are you at a place where you think, well, this is all it can be? I challenge you this morning to tap into that power. Are you convinced that your children will never change? Are you convinced this morning that your children will never change? Or are you aware of the power that God has given to be able to change them? Do you assume that your parents will never understand you? Do you assume this morning that your parents will never understand you? Don't underestimate the power of God. Call upon Him. Call upon Him. Have you lost hope that your finances will ever stabilize? That you will come to a place where it just is okay? Have you lost hope? Do you need to trust our omnipotent God for a physical problem? Is there a physical problem that you're experiencing today that you've come to the end of hope and you feel like there's no way around this? The same God that closed the mouth of the lion, that parted the Red Sea, that brought down fire from heaven, that raised Jesus from the dead, lives in you, lives in you. Nothing is too difficult for God. Do you believe it? It is the power of salvation, and I do need to bring this to a close. So when the devil comes your way and he starts messing with you, what do you do? What do you do? And here's where I want to tap in to the power of the spoken word. Here's where I want to tap into the power of the spoken word. The power of God's word spoken is so powerful. We have God speaking the earth and creation into existence. We have Jesus when he was tempted in the wilderness. What did he do? He didn't whip out a sword or his AK-47 or whatever it might be. He didn't get any of those things out. What he got out the word of God and he spoke it. And I challenge you this morning, you may be sitting here with a weapon right in your hand and the enemy is beating up on you. Don't let him do it. Don't let him do it. Get out the word of God. Get out the word and speak the word against him. Speak the word against him. See, Satan is not afraid of your education. He's not afraid of how elegant or intelligent you can speak. He's not afraid of your opinions, nor is he afraid of your church denomination. But what he is afraid of is the word of God. The word of God. It says that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that he is God. Satan will only react to the word of God this morning. It is the weapon that God has given you. It is the power that God has placed within your tongue, right here in your mouth, to speak words of life or death. And are you going to choose to speak words of life, or are you going to choose to speak words of death this morning? But choose to use the weapon, the power that God has placed in his word. We need to speak the word of God. We need to act on the word of God. And we need to attack the devil with the word of God. Now I think about how often Satan comes into our beings and he presents us with, well, you're not good enough. You can't do it. You're less than ideal. You don't have what it takes to be all that God wants you to be. You can't do it. And I challenge you this morning that when he comes in and he challenges you, tell him, I am what this book says that I am. And it says that I am more than a conqueror. I am the head and not the tail. Say what this book says. Do what the book says that I can do. It says that I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. I challenge you, speak those words to the enemy. And again, may I just say again this morning, you probably heard me say before, I believe you need to speak it out loud. I believe that it needs to be spoken. It's not something you think against the enemy. It's something you need to speak against the enemy. And when the enemy is coming to you, you need to speak words of life into yourself as well. I have this book. I have this book and it says, I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy, and nothing will harm me. That's a word that is spoken in the word. That is given. This book says that nothing is impossible to them that believe and are called according to his purpose. This book says that this word is sharper than a two-edged sword. This book is milk to infants. This book is meat to adults. And it's hope for the hopeless. And it's a friend to the friendless. The word conquered death, hell, and the grave. The word conquered diseases. This word conquers demon powers. It is powerful. We have within our ability, we have within us the Spirit of God leading us to speak words against Satan. You see, when Satan comes up against you and saying you're defeated, it's not true. It is not true. It is not true. You are not defeated because you are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. Friends, we need to make up our minds this morning. God is all powerful. Do you believe it? God is all powerful. Do you believe it? And I think we need to come to the place when sometimes we are hindered by, we don't say anything. We don't say anything. We're quick to share something. We're quick to speak when we've gone through a tough time. And we come out the other side. We're quick to speak about it to people. We can share it. We can share it as testimonies. We can share that really well and really easy. Maybe sometimes it's difficult. But what about the time when you're in the midst of the battle? What about the time when you're in the middle of the battle? Are you still able to speak praises to God? Are you still able to give honor and glory to him? It's easy after you've come through it, but what about when you're in it? What about when you're in that difficult time? What would people think of me? I think we really have to get to the place where we don't care that people won't like me or if I'm saying too much to the honor and glory of God and speak to the honor and glory of God. Sometimes you're going to be all by yourself. Sometimes it'll be a lonely walk. It's not a crowd walk. It's not a buddy walk. But this walk is between you and Jesus Christ. And when you bring praise to him and honor him, do you have the same power that Jesus exercised when he got up from the grave? This is the same power that you and I have today. It is the same power that healed the lame man at the gate called Beautiful. It is the same power when Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." It is the same power that raised the widow's son. It is the same power that turned water into wine. It is the same power that caused the blind to see. It is the same power that set the captive free. And that means that you and I are free, and we are free indeed. Hallelujah. We are not in bondage. We are not in bondage. We have the power of Jesus Christ in us. Speak it. Speak it. It is there. Let me read this in closing. 1 Chronicles 29:10 through 14, it says this: "Therefore David blessed the Lord before all the assembly, and David said, 'Blessed are you, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, the glory, the victory, and the majesty, for all that is in heaven and in earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom,'" and the worship team can come to bring the closing song. "Both riches and honor come from you, and you reign over all. In your hand is power and might. In your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all. Now, therefore, our God, we thank you and praise your glorious name. But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to offer so willingly as this? For all things come from you, and of your own we have given you." Hallelujah. We are able to give back. We are able to give back praise. We are able to give back glory to the Father for the power that he demonstrates in his written word, in your life through the Holy Spirit, and again through the spoken word spoken against the enemy. And I challenge you again this morning. I leave you with this challenge. God is all powerful. Do you believe it? Do you believe it? Let's come before the Father. Father, we thank you again this morning for the opportunity we have to look into your word, to search your word, and to know again, to see just a glimpse of you and your omnipotent power. Father, I pray that you would move among us. I pray that you would move in our hearts, that in the times that our eyes are blinded, Lord, open our eyes that we would be able to see. And that we would be able to see you move. And that we would be able to speak, Lord, that our tongues would not be bound, but that against the enemy, we would be able to raise up words that speak death to the enemy. God, I pray that we also would be able to speak words of life, and that this morning they would be on the tip of our tongue to speak words of life. Father, we give you this time in Jesus' name. Amen.
Almighty, most holy God, faithful through the ages. Almighty, most holy Lord, glorious Almighty God. The beasts of the field, the birds of the air, are silent to call on your name. The earth has no voice, and I have no choice but to magnify God unashamed. Let the rocks be kept silent for one more day. Let the whole world sing out, let the people say, Almighty, most holy God, faithful through the ages, Almighty. Most holy Lord, glorious Almighty God. Well, time marches on, with the innocence gone, and the darkness has covered the earth. But His Spirit dwells, He speaks it as well, and the hopeless still offer new birth. He will break the leash of death, will have no sting. Let the prisoner go free, let the dance and sing. Almighty.